and Josh ready to talk Tiger football. On and ever forward, we help our school. Students whose hearts are always ever true. Those black and golden colors floating on high. Hail to the glory of Tipton High. Go team, go team, go. Fight team, fight team, fight. Win team, win team, win. Team fight, fight, fight. Team, all we do is win, win, win.
Welcome in the third and long podcast.
All right, Clint, welcome into week 7. Man, the weather is starting to turn. It finally hit.
It feels a little bit like fall.
It does.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to Friday with true fall football weather.
I know.
It's been hot.
It has been.
We've been like outside of the very first game when it was raining the entire time when we predicted dry weather. It's been really hot these last 5 weeks.
I literally had this conversation tonight driving my son home. I said, my junior or senior year, it snowed. I literally had gloves on trying to throw a football. It was not good. I'm like, you have the best weather you could ever have. This might be...
Without a doubt.
I mean, to be 60 degrees playing football.
And honestly...
No rain.
Even the next 2 weeks look pretty darn good. Yeah. So I think our players are going to be happy. We're going to play in some nice weather finally.
Yep. So we talked about it just a second ago, but this will be a fairly short, maybe not as... We both have things going on tonight, so we'll keep it a little quicker, but still want to give the due to the team. Friday was not our game.
It wasn't our game. We didn't do the one thing we had to do. We talked about, let's make Brandon Dale, the quarterback, beat us. Mm-hmm. Let's make him beat us. Let's not let Keaton Gates beat us. Well, guess who came and beat us? It was Keaton Gates.
Yeah.
34 carries, 214 yards, 5 touchdowns. Some would call that a career game, but Keaton has been doing that all year long.
I haven't seen 5 touchdowns since Preston Reese.
Preston Reese Monticello.
Cody Kelly scored 6 touchdowns, which I thought was pretty impressive. But yes, 5 touchdowns. Here's the thing. Our coaches, I thought we had a good game plan, especially, you know, we look at our defense. We talked about it. Do we need safeties in this game? Probably not. We walked our safeties all the way up.
Yep.
And we basically packed the box. It was 9-man fronts. I mean, not fronts, but we had 9 guys in the box.
Sure.
At most of the game.
And that's what's impressive. Impressive what Keaton did. He did against the defense that was meant to stop him.
Yep.
Like, that's it. So, again, kudos to Keaton Gates. Obviously, he's a great running back.
Kudos to their offensive line, too. I think
I thought they did a great job.
Number 77, I think his name is Montgomery. I think he's an Ohio football commit.
Oh, really?
He just looked different out on the field. Like, just looking at him, I'm like, that looks like a college player compared to our guys. So, he did a nice job. You could tell we were a little physically outmatched.
Yes, like you said,
on both sides. On both sides.
Both sides on the front line.
They have a senior line. We have a young line.
You know, the defense we run, that 4-4, glorified 4-4-4-3 style defense that we run, leaves the center open. They had a really good center as well who got second level. So if you were to watch the film on this game, that center, I think it was numbers 55 or 56, got to the second level, which was Jacob Langley, a lot. Jacob still had a fantastic game, 11 tackles. Jacob still did what Jacob does. But he had to fight through a really good center block.
And you know that was their game plan.
Absolutely.
Is get the center out on or get someone out on our linebacker. Don't let him run free.
Absolutely. Just like we were trying to stop Keaton Gates, they wanted to make sure they got a body on Jacob Langley that entire game. And they did a pretty good job of that. Again, Jacob did a really nice job of fighting through a lot of that and still making a lot of nice plays. But in the end, 6.5 yards a carry for Keaton.
I mean, they averaged 6.6 yards a carry for the game.
For the game.
And that's kind of what they did. I mean, outside the first possession, I thought that first quarter we kind of held our own. It was a 7-0 game there for a long time.
Yeah. We implemented that bend but don't break defense that we tend to ride all year long. Where they're getting yards, but they're also taking time off the clock, and we're not getting scores run up on us.
Yeah, and you said it. They did not beat us with the pass, and I think this is going to be a problem for West Branch. If they get behind against any of the teams they play, which happened at Alburnett, they have to pass the ball a little bit. They have basically one receiver who we talked about, Brandon Peterson. He had 2 catches for 56 yards, which was it.
Right.
But it was basically, I call it a chuck and duck. you throw it up and hope he goes and gets it. It was kind of
well,
a 50-50
and he obviously
ball.
Had one-on-one coverage the entire time,
yeah, which is fine.
We're packing the box,
yep,
which we expected. So yeah, in the end, I think just a hair out, just outmatched at the front line. Yep. Like you said, upperclassmen compared to underclassmen on the front line. You could tell they had the experience and the size advantage of us. And I felt we held our own as long as we could. In the end, on offense for us, still struggled to move the ball. And that you know, obviously we're working with a third-string quarterback.
Let's talk about that. So yeah. We kind of knew it going in. We weren't quite sure maybe if West Branch people were going to be listening. You know, they're known to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we didn't want to mention anything, but obviously Garrett Fitch with a fracture in his ankle – knew he was going to be out, but, you know.
Right.
We kind of knew that early on. And then Justin Boedeker, I think, had a concussion.
Yeah, was under concussion.
So not only do you lose two defensive starters, you lose two offensive starters, and now you're down to a third-string quarterback, which we really didn't have at the moment.
Right.
So you move Oakley into a spot that he hasn't played, I think, since 7th or 8th grade.
Sure.
It's not really his position. So what an admirable job by Oakley to come in.
Without
a
doubt.
You know, he has less than a week to kind of figure that out. I thought he did a good job.
I thought he did too.
And you could see him getting more comfortable. And where he is comfortable is kind of these off schedule throws where he was running around like Kyler Murray.
Broken plays. Absolutely.
The last two touchdowns. Now, granted, they were against the JV. I like to preface that because I don't know if those plays happen if you're playing against the starters.
Sure.
Because it wasn't there the first half, and it wasn't there the third quarter. But obviously you get to the JV team coming in, or a lot of the backups were starting to come in. They could not get their hands on Oakley. He basically was running 50 yards side to side, and then
yes, he
lobbed a couple throws. One was, I believe, to Collender, and the other one to Gavin Sorgenfrey,
yes.
Jackson Timmerman.
Yep.
They did a nice job of working open, and – you know, I don't know what we're doing this week, obviously with Fitch out. But if we still have Oakley as the quarterback, I'd like to see those receivers start to work back, because Oakley's going to give you time. Now you just got to keep working, because it's hard to guard someone for
that's
five
a fantastic
seconds.
Point. That's a good point. Is Oakley's going to make the defense work to get him.
Yep.
They may get there eventually, but his receivers need to learn. I get it. It's a brand new quarterback. They've been working with Garrett all year long. This is a new quarterback. It's going to feel a little bit different. It's going to act a little bit different. You're going to have to work back to the ball, to your point, find some sideline routes that are going to give him an opportunity to get rid of the ball. You know, we've spent an entire year trying to get Oakley the football.
Yep.
Right? So the beauty of what's going on right now is where at the very least Oakley has the ball in his hands. And so one of our top playmakers does have the ball in his hands every time. At least they did last week. And you could see what type of difference that makes. But yeah, Gavin Sorgenfrey with four catches, 92 yards, a touchdown. That's what we need out of Gavin all the time. And we might need him to go to more like 7 to 8 catches this next week.
Yep.
And Gavin's got good enough hands, good enough speed, athletic enough that he's one of those guys that we need to ask of, if the ball's in the area, you got to go get it. Win those jump balls, win those one-on-ones, because we're going to need them if we're on a chance.
I really wish I'd have been on the West Branch sidelines when they were kind of, you know, going through warm-ups, and you look up there and you're like, I don't think that's the kid we've been watching on film.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute, that's the Cruz kid. So your defense all of a sudden is like in scramble mode. You know, we talked about Oakley not really playing quarterback. He was 9 of 14, 64% percentage, which we haven't had a lot of those high percentages. So he completed a high percentage of passes.
Absolutely.
Two touchdowns. Those were the ones at the end.
Yep.
157 yards. So mission accomplished from that standpoint. Where we were not mission accomplished, and we haven't been mission accomplished all year, is our rushing game.
It wasn't there.
24 carries, 16 yards, 0.7. yards a carry will not work in any football at any level. It just won't work.
Yeah, we can talk 7th grade ball. It's not going to work there. We talk YSF ball. It doesn't work there. So we talked about it all year. That's the spot that if you don't have it, it's hard to win football games.
Yeah.
And so it comes back to, in the end, I've said it a million times, the offensive line needs to have some pride. Take some pride in that number. You have two games left to show that you know how to block. You can run the ball. You can open up holes for Ethan. You can actually establish a ground game. Have some pride. Get there. find a way to do it. We need to have some leader step up on the offensive line and say, we're not going to allow this anymore. We got two games left to figure this out.
And you're no longer, you know, you always talk about this is a young line, Well, now we're seven games into the season.
Yeah.
You're no longer a young line. You've played together.
Yep.
Outside of a couple injuries, you know, a lot of these guys have stayed healthy, which is good.
Right.
You know, I thought the game plan coming in, it's the old question. And, you know, folks that have never coached before, it's really easy to place blame. It's really easy to kind of question things. Mm-hmm. I look at our offense and I question, I say, okay, what do you do here? Because you could run a wing T with Oakley at quarterback and do a bunch of fakes, kind of like a Sigourney Kyoto, where you're faking to a fullback, faking to the wing back, running guys in motion, and really just kind of deception. The problem is we really have to be – everything packs down. You have to be really good at the point of attack, which has been kind of some struggles for us.
Yeah.
And so instead, we're kind of spreading it out, saying, okay, defense, we're going to move you out, spread you out, and then we're going to try to do some things there. It hasn't worked on the run side. We're seeing some stuff with the passing, but we're really relying basically on our quarterback – to make a lot of plays with this offense, and I think that's where you're seeing a lot of the struggles.
It's made us one-dimensional, and one-dimensional football teams are easier to beat than two-dimensional football teams. They just are. So
That's anywhere.
So exactly, at all levels. And so, again, I'll go back to I was an offensive lineman. I get it. I understand it's not a glorified position, but it is truly the most important position on the football field, because if it's not working up front in the trenches – it's not going to work anywhere else. And so, to your point, we're six games in. This is our seventh game of the year. There's no more underclassmen. There's no more freshmen. There's no more sophomores. There are at least six game veterans on the field at this point.
Yep.
Take some pride in what you're doing. You know the plays by this point. You're not going to get fooled anymore. You know what coverages look like. You know what twists look like on the defensive line. Pick it up. Do your job. And I ask the players that are listening to this, especially offensive line, if I was your coach right now, I'd say the same thing. Beat the man across from you. That's your only job. Beat the man across from you. If you win and the guy next to you wins and the guy next to him wins, you can move the football.
Yep.
But it starts with you beating the man across from you and having a little bit of attitude. Get a little bit pissed. Beat the guy across from you every single play. Make his night hell. And you can win some football games doing that, but it takes an attitude to do that.
So there's the old school coaches would hate me. Like I'm the type that wants to run trick plays. I want to run crazy formations. I basically want to put you where you don't know what we're going to do. We did a formation out there on Friday night, and I'm sure up in the stands there was a lot of maybe like, what the heck is this?
Right.
Basically, we ran three receivers to the right, three receivers to the left. Very unique formation. You only have three people on the line, so it's all legal.
Yep.
And then we had Jacob Langley in the backfield. In the back of your head is like, what are we doing here? So the very first play, I thought for sure it was going to be a Jacob Langley run. Like in my head, if I was defense, I'd be like, pack in, they're going to run this. Jacob throws out to the left. It wasn't the greatest ball, but it was a completed pass. I think it was to Gavin. He completed it, got no yards or lost a two or something. It wasn't blocked well enough to get yards. So we kind of thought, well, maybe that was just a quick trick play. Well, we kept in it. And this is what I think people in the stands have to understand is football is a game of progression. So you run a play to set up another play.
Right.
That's typically what you do. You have different formations. You run it. Okay, what were they doing when we did this? Okay, this backside's open because this is what they did the last time we ran this. That's how an offensive mind works. Well, we had three progressions out of this. So the next play was a run, which I thought we would be doing.
Right.
I don't remember exactly how many yards, but I believe it was not a good effort, basically. Right. We did not get many. I think it's a bad snap what happened off the bat.
So
we lost like 4 yards on it.
Sure.
So it didn't really work out. So now we're, up against it.
Now third and long.
We stayed with this formation, right? And I believe it would have worked. We basically ran like he was running it, which set up Oakley, set up a little block and then released downfield. Jacob just didn't have a great ball to him.
Right.
Underthrew it and got picked. It was there. Oakley was open. And it's easy to second guess. Like, what are we doing here? Why do we have Jacob Langley in the backfield throwing the ball twice on a possession? Right. It's these kind of things that defense has to account for. Now, Bellevue this week, has to run this at least for 5 minutes to say, okay, if they run this, this is what we're going to do on a defense. So Absolutely. It takes up their time. It's the old swinging gate thing.
Yep.
I love doing these kind of weird formations because I think it puts a lot of pressure on defensive coordinators to stay fundamentally sound
right.
and keep them on their toes. There's a lot of extra timeouts that happen because they just don't trust their guys know what to do in those situations.
Yeah,
at
I
the pro level, that doesn't work because they know what to do in every situation.
Right.
High school level is different. So I like seeing that. I like a little more tempo. So if we're going to run that, let's get up the line and go, 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 so they can't talk about it and figure out what they want to do.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've heard Jacob Langland can throw a nice football.
Yeah.
So there's a reason they had him do that. I think in practice he can throw a really nice ball. He just obviously doesn't have a whole lot of attempts at it. And it was
– Well, and you think about it.
Didn't throw the best ball, and that's what happened.
If we're going to run it to him in a Wildcat format,
yep.
we lose an offensive lineman. Well, if we're going to lose an sure. offensive lineman, let's just spread him out wide,
right?
And now you got numbers where the numbers make sense. Go ahead and run. Yep. I'll take Jacob over defensive lineman all day long. I think
all
he
day.
Can run through it in one linebacker. So
could not agree more.
I kind of like the formation. It wasn't executed perfectly, but I think the thought was there. And I think this week, upcoming week, we have nothing to lose. We haven't talked about it. We are playoff ineligible, basically. We with Anamosa beating Monticello this week, with Bellevue beating Alburnett,
yep.
that officially eliminates us from playoff contention. So we have a little, you know, basically if you're talking playoffs, which was our goal, that is no longer an option. And it's unfortunate.
Right.
It was the goal. It's what we wanted. And now it's all pride. And
that's the deal, is you got to refocus. Now what are you chasing? As a senior, it better be pretty darn easy right now what you're chasing. Like, this is your final two football games of your high school football career.
For a lot of these kids, I'd say 95% of these kids, this is the last they'll ever put a helmet and put a chin strap on.
Absolutely. And so for that senior class, you know what you have to play for. Yes, it's not the playoffs anymore, but this is something you're going to carry with you for the rest of your life. Like, and believe me, speaking from someone who, you know, last strapped it up in high school in 1998, you think about it. I think about the last game. I got to play a little bit longer.
I was going to say, you went a little further than that.
I did get to play a little bit longer than that, but nothing compares to high school football. And I will tell you, you will remember your last high school football game. I do. It was actually
a
loss.
I still do as well, yeah.
It was a loss against Eldora New Providence, and we were up 28-7 and we ended up losing 35-28.
We should do a podcast on that.
I'm telling you right now, it's weird how you remember that stuff. And I say that as a warning, but also as an opportunity to the senior class. It is something you'll remember, and you're going to want to put your best effort forward in the next two games, because the last thing you want is regret going out of that and saying, I mailed it in, or I cashed it in because we couldn't make the playoffs. I would hate to hear that, and honestly, if that's your mentality right now, I'd go tell Coach Nord, hey, my head's not in it. I'm not going to do this team any good on the field Friday night. You should probably not play me.
Yep.
But if not, I'll tell you what, go out there and be who you always wanted to be on this football field and do something amazing. Beat an undefeated Bellevue team. You want to talk about a legacy, that's it.
That's what I was going to say is Bellevue's undefeated. They're playing for a district title. Lots mm-hmm. on the line for them. They're looking at us saying, this is our walkthrough, and then we've got West Branch at the last game of the year.
Sure.
They're looking ahead to West Branch, guarantee it. Right now riding a high. There's going to be nothing better, and you will always remember beating the number 4 team in state when you haven't had a win all year. What a sweet game to win, and a great bus ride home after beating that team. This is a winnable game, whether you want to believe it or not. It really is.
This is a team that came up from 1A to 2A.
Yep.
So this is their first year in the 2A bracket.
This is a team that went from A to 2A.
Okay, A to 2A. Yeah, this is a two-class jump. They are one-dimensional. If you look at their stats, yeah, do they have some rushes to try to keep it even? Sure. That's not where they get their points. That's not where they get their yards. They're a one-dimensional team. I've watched some film on Bellevue. The quarterback is good, but he's also potentially a little bit overconfident. He does like to extend plays. He does like to throw back across the middle because he thinks he's good enough to do it. I would say disciplined football, second level, catching the people that are walking across your face in routes, you can pick this guy off, actually. I think there's massive opportunity for our defense to give this guy, you know, a horrible night. But we have to play disciplined, good football. And our D-line, back to this line play, our D-line has to cause a little bit of havoc and make him work a little bit.
Yeah, you got to get him disrupted. I mean, I guess, you know, one last comment before we jump into Bellevue. You know, you obviously have Bellevue. This is a lot, you know, on paper you'd say this is a loss. You have an 0-6 team against a 6-0 team at their place. They're coming off a big game against Alburnett, which they won. So for me, this is just pride. It's like, let's go knock this team off. That's fun. You have nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
Like literally nothing to lose. Go out there as a coaching staff, set the world on fire. Go run plays that you'd never run if you were in the playoff hunt. Go punch at a ball, because if you miss, so be like, you're supposed to lose this game. So don't worry about it. If something bad happens, go have some fun with it, enjoy it. And then your last game, that's a win. That's a win, in my opinion.
That is a win.
And that's a game. That's a game that we should end on a very high note. I'd be very disappointed if we didn't. I think that would sting me a little bit to not have a winnable season there. And so I do think there's still some things to play for.
Oh, without a doubt. There's things to play for in this football game. And so, yeah, again, as you go to Bellevue, like I said, they've got 199 pass attempts in the year, 146 rushing. Most of those rushing attempts, there's no massive – runners out there. This Eli Laban, whatever, he's a sophomore. He's got 44 carries for 234 yards. He's got three touchdowns. He has a long of 21.
I'm going to have to cut you off. You can't even talk about Bellevue without talking about two players. Two players is all we're going to be talking about.
Old Cal.
Cal Boniface, a senior, is putting up some numbers that I haven't seen I can't think of the last guy. He's leading the state in passing yards.
Yep,
leading the state. And it's not an easy district that he's running through right here right now.
Nope.
Last week, threw for 403 yards against Alburnett. On top of that, his number one target, and I haven't seen these kind of numbers for a long time, 12 catches, 291 yards, three touchdowns for his favorite target, Keegan Kilberg. Both of these guys are seniors, thank goodness.
True.
But my goodness. I mean, these are historic numbers these two are putting up. And it is like, this is like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, you can say you want to stop it. You can game plan to stop it. It's kind of like the West Branch thing.
Right.
We can game plan all we want until you get out there and stop it. No one has stopped this yet. It's a train that just keeps going.
Very true, but we also have the benefit of time on our side. The fact that this is the seventh game of the year, we know exactly who their studs are. We know exactly what they love to run. We know exactly where they like to go.
It's a game changer.
And it's Cal that really wants to.
Sorry about that, Clint. We had a quick technical issue there, but we're back on.
So. It happens. Third Long Studios. It happens. Yeah. Again, we know exactly what they want to do. We know that Cal's going to throw to Keenan. And we know the routes they love. Again, I know that this Cal guy loves to throw across the middle late, or at the very least, he loves to get right to the inch or the sideline and throw it about the hash. And those are dangerous passes. We have the ability. I do have faith in our defensive backfield and our linebacking core. I've said that all year long. I think we've got great athletes back there. And if they're doing their job, if Jackson Timmerman's doing his job, if Oakley Cruz is doing his job, if Gavin Sorgenfrey is doing his job, if Justin Bodeker is doing his job, we can get in passing lanes and actually kind of make this guy's night a living hell. And I don't see any reason we don't do that to him. Because to your point earlier, we have nothing to lose.
Nothing.
So let's go after him. Let's step in some passing lanes. How do we win when our offense isn't scoring? I'm an old Bears fan, right? So
you don't know anything about
how
offense.
How do you win when an offense doesn't score? Your defense has to score. So no reason in the world we can't have a Gavin Sorgenfrey pick six, an Oakley Cruz pick six. Like, let's make that happen. Let's let our defense and special teams actually score some points in this game, because we haven't done that yet this year. You know, let's make a turnover. Let's turn a turnover into some points. And I think that is the type of lift we're going to need if we want a chance against a team like Bellevue.
Yeah. This is an offensive dynamo. I mean, they have almost 1,900 yards of passing, and there's still two games to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to throw for over 2,000 yards.
Yep.
That is impressive in an 8-game season. And then obviously he'll add to that with the playoffs.
Yep.
You mentioned they're kind of one-dimensional, and that is true. I do agree with you on that. I will say, though, they do have some other options. They've rushed 146 times for 700 yards, which is about a 5 yards per pop.
Yep.
10 touchdowns. You know, maybe their leading rusher isn't, his numbers don't pop off, you know, 234 yards. But then they have a sophomore that's got 200 yards rushing, and they've got the Kilberg, who is the receiver. He's carried it 25 times, 168 yards.
Yep.
They have some different things they do. They move him. Yeah, they move this Kilberg around because they know that teams are going to try to they put him in motion. They put him in the backfield. Yeah. They basically don't want you to have someone locked in on him.
Yeah, and they will do some end around stuff with Keenan. It'll be interesting if we have if we go man on Keenan and then have someone follow him through motion. But again, yeah, this Eli Laban, whatever, the sophomore, the leading rusher with 44 carries and 234 yards. Let's keep in mind that old Keaton Gates had 34 carries and 214 yards in one game against us. So, yes, he is their leading rusher, but we've seen a rusher that did what this guy did in six games in one game. And so this is their rushing game from everything I see on film. I watch two games on film. It's just to keep defenses honest. And which is great. That's what a good team does. They're going to want to keep defense honest so that they can't 100% key on Cal and Keenan. But I'll go back to the statement before. Who's going to beat you in this game? Who are we going to make beat us? I say let Eli try to beat us. Like, if we could shut down Cal and Keenan in the passing game, great. If we get beat by 40 because they rushed all over us, that is not what Bellevue wants to
no.
do. They do not want to run the ball all night long.
No, and kill clock.
Us. And kill. That is not their game. That would actually tick them off more than anything.
I agree.
And so I would say make them beat us by the run.
Yeah, and they have, I mean, we talked about the Kilberg kid. Almost 60 catches for 1,000 yards, and there's still two games to go. That is phenomenal. 12 touchdowns. Like, these are historic yep. numbers they're putting up.
Yep.
But let's not forget, their fourth leading catcher has 19 catches for 163 yards, two touchdowns. That would be our leading receiver on our team right now.
Yes.
So that's basically Gavin Sorgenfrey is their fourth option.
Yep.
They have other options. Mainly their second options, which I'm sure he gets a lot of open looks because there's so much attention placed on Keenan, mm-hmm. is Gavin Golems. He's got 28 catches. He got 5 touchdowns, 300 yards catching. So that's a legit option for them to come back to as well.
And so the final thing I would say for our defense and my challenge for our defense, especially our defensive line, because we do have to make this Cal Boniface, I think is his last name, uncomfortable in the pocket. They have not played another quarterback all year long in six games. They haven't played another quarterback. It's just been Cal. I say if we can hit this guy multiple times, rush him, make him really think about trying to get rid of the ball earlier than he's comfortable with. I'm back to the take some pride. Defensive line, take some pride. We have great D-ends. We got Braden Collender at D-end. We'll get Ethan Hall rushing quite a bit. Make this guy super uncomfortable and make him pay for trying to hold on to the ball for too long. And see if maybe we can get a second string quarterback in there, because Lord knows, I don't even know what they got at second string because I haven't played him all year long.
Let's not get the second string in because they're up by so much. Let's get him in there off a big hit or something.
Exactly.
And make him think about that.
That's all I really want for this guy is to – I want Cal to walk out of this game saying, holy hell, that was tough.
Which is what Al Burnett did. That's what Al Burnett did. They came out of there like, wow, that was not what we thought.
I've had parents from Al Burnett, because I know one of my parents say, wow, that was – we were a tougher team than they thought they were going to compete against. They got hit harder than they thought they were going to get hit. That's what I want Bellevue to do, because they play a finesse game. They just do. And so I want them to realize this is still football. You still get hit in this game, and it's not all finesse.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this is a short week. Obviously, you go right into football. You only have really 3 or 4 days to prepare. Yep. So it's really hard to just, you know, in NFL or college, you have all this time to kind of throw a different matchup. That's why it's so hard. We don't have a scout team that can run these type of plays like these guys run it.
Right.
So when you get out there, it's going to be a different speed. They're going to be throwing on timing. This is something they've done probably for 3 or 4 years together.
Yep.
It's going to be tough to come out there. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I liked what we did this past week where we basically said we're loading the box and we're going to force you to pass. We didn't execute it. We ran the right setup.
Yep.
We ran what we were supposed to. This week, if I'm the D coordinator, if I'm Coach Ornsby, I'm putting my best player, which at this point is either Gavin or Oakley on from the defensive back side. I put Oakley on this kid, and I mirror wherever Keenan goes. If he gets beat, so be it. I also have a deep safety so that we have a safety valve. So go ahead and be aggressive, Oakley. Go jump some stuff. Go know that he's going to be looking to throw when he hits his route. Go jump all that stuff. And don't worry about getting beat over top because we have a safety basically mirroring him wherever he goes as well.
Right.
To your point, if someone else wants to be us, which very well could happen, so be it.
Let them be.
Give them have a career game. Kudos. But we are not letting Keenan basically go off on us and have a 300-yard game like he has all year, basically.
Exactly.
That's the way I'm looking at it. If you sit in zone all game, it's going to be a really long night for the Tigers because I don't think we're disciplined enough in our zone to read and react and basically give them a hard time. That's what they want us to do. So I'm hopeful that we come out with something unique, something maybe they haven't seen, and mix it up because as a high school quarterback, there is nothing worse than not knowing what coverage you're in as you're going to drop back. Right. And that's where the mistakes come. You go to throw it thinking they're in man or in a man zone or something, and all of a sudden this crossing route doesn't work because the linebacker jumps it. That's what I want
to
see.
He's good, but he's not Peyton Manning good. No. So he can't read and react to different coverages like a college or an NFL quarterback could. And on the offensive side, we've talked about our struggles scoring points on offense. This team gives up points. We played a Comanche team that, how many Comanche scored against us? Can't remember. It's been a bit now, but Comanche put up 35 on this team.
Yep.
You know, Monticello, who hasn't scored against anybody, put up 14. Albernette put up 28 against this team. Anamosa put up 32 against this team.
I believe they run kind of a wide set. They don't want you to run outside on them, which is not going to be favorable against West Branch. The following week.
That's true.
But
that's true.
They basically are saying, you're not getting anything outside on us, but we will get some stuff up the middle if we can block it and create those holes.
Right. We can score on this team. So I would say, you know, let's get to 21, 28 points and see if we can hold them to 21 or under.
Totally agree.
And we can win that football game.
As you know, love Bellevue, the community, the town.
Yep.
It's right on the river. Go up there. If you're going to come up there, go up there and enjoy a nice walk. I'm sure the weather's going to be nice. It's right on the Lock and Dam. I mean, it is a really cool town. Beautiful. There's a brewery right there. Go enjoy that. I think I'm going to just go up there and enjoy a little bit of the afternoon up there.
Sounds good to me.
And then hit up the game afterwards.
Love that.
It's going to be a fun one. I love playing teams that we're not supposed to win. Like, there's just it's fun being the underdog. Like, you're not expected to win.
There's no expectation.
If we leave and we lose 35-0, big deal. Whatever. But if you come out and you give this team a game, they're going to be freaked out a little bit. Like, they were not expecting this. So let's have some fun with it. One last thing on this, Clint. I got to show you this. Their fresh soft size is pretty impressive. Take a look at number 79. Would you read that off for me? This is a freshman, by the way.
This is a freshman who is 6'4", 350. Oh, my God.
As a freshman.
Oh, man.
So,
last time I saw it was on the movie The Blind Side.
Yeah. So I mentioned that to my son, Skyler, who's playing opposite of this kid. I said, if he's anywhere in your range, you slide or run away from this kid.
Save yourself.
So that's impressive that they have a 6'4", 350 kid as a freshman. Something to look out for the future. But, yeah, they don't make kids like that young. So kudos to them. All right. Talk some other sports, Clint. Cross country. We just had a meet last night up in West Delaware in Manchester. I don't like how far it is. It's an hour and a half away from Tipton. Sure. Not fun to get up there.
Sure.
But the actual course itself is really viewer friendly. It's runner friendly. There's always PRs there because there's a lot of downhill, like long downhill stuff.
I agree.
And the kids are always having fun with it. They bring a band for the band's playing out on the golf course. Like, it's kind of fun. They do a nice job. They give medals to the top 30 for varsity. They give top 10 for JV. So, like, a lot of people are getting PRs and they're running well, and it's a very competitive meet. We had some injuries on the girls' side. We only ran three girls.
Right.
And we were trying to – one of the things I think we were also kind of hesitant is, you know, with girls out, we want to stay under the radar because next week the district pairings come out, and it's all based off your rankings.
Yes.
They basically send you where they think you can get the best chance for state. So we did not want to be on the radar of finishing seventh.
Yep.
So we didn't finish as a team. We had top three runners. Ella, Lucy, and Chloe were our top three finishers there. Excellent. And on the boys' side, same situation. I think Silas was out. We still performed really well, had some good PRs. Kyson and Caleb led the way. I think the boys are now top 10. The girls are top 15. Really impressive from that. We took out the North Lynn meet, which is usually on a Saturday. This upcoming Saturday, you have to leave at like 5:30 in the morning. The kids hate it. It's cold.
I was hated that one as a parent too.
Your shoes were all wet. We're not doing that this week. So we get the whole weekend to rest up for Tuesday, which is our conference at Iowa City Kickers. So
fantastic.
It'll be a fun meet. But I thought the kids did really well, and it's crazy that we're already to the postseason.
It really is. And same thing in the volleyball land. This is our last week of regular season volleyball play. So we have one more game Thursday night against Comanche here at home. It's our last home game. And then we start postseason on Monday in the RVC South tournament. And I think that's in West Branch, and I believe the RVC overall tournament, I was just told tonight, might be moved to Comanche and not West Liberty anymore.
That's really?
Next Thursday. We've had two games since we were last our last podcast. The huge one against Mid Prairie was last Thursday.
That was fun. Great atmosphere.
Great atmosphere. Couldn't be better. It was Jen Johnson night. The girls wore the purple jerseys. The whole crowd was purple. I thought, like you said, you couldn't beat that atmosphere. I thought that was fantastic. Girls played really, really well. Obviously went up against one of the top teams in the state in Mid-Prairie. Lost to them 3-1. But again, I thought we held our own really, really well. And there's places we could have done better at. And it's a beatable team, which we found out last night when Regina beat Mid-Prairie last night.
I thought the back row of Mid-Prairie there's some openings there. Now,
I agree.
The front row is really tough. When you have the two Evans girls running around, it's hard to get a lot of kills with those two. They're just talented.
Absolutely.
But athletic.
Guess what? We're going to get to see them again, probably in the RVC South tournament and on Monday, and then very likely again in the RVC overall tournament.
What's the standings? Talk to me through the standings. Actually, I'll look
you know
it up.
What? I was going to say, you should look that up because the RVC South is stacked.
It is. There's five teams that are just legit. They could win on any night.
We've got Regina. We've got Tipton. We've got Wilton. And we've got West Liberty.
All right.
And Durant, which is not a bad volleyball team either, is in sixth place.
So here's what we're looking at. As of today, West Liberty is the first team at 6-1. Mid Prairie is also 6-1. I don't know how they look at that, if it's head to head or what, how they determine that.
That's a good question.
I guess we'll see what else. You know, I think there's some other games there. Maybe, or this is it actually. Now that I think about it, so that's the final. Regina's 5-2, so they'll finish third, and Wilton and Tipton finished 4-3. Obviously, kind of everyone lost to different teams, so it all works out. But when you look at that overall record, and this is what's frustrating to me. I've been frustrated with this. We have the highest win percentage.
Yep.
We beat Wilton head-to-head, and yet Wilton is still hanging around in the rankings after getting knocked off.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, you beat Regina early in the year. Yeah, you beat Solon. You haven't played anyone else besides that, and technically we beat you. So we should have been ranked or had something in there.
I couldn't agree more.
I even wrote the state. I said, why is this, like, who's voting on this?
Right.
What are we looking at?
They have to be looking at strength of schedule as it.
But that's...
I know. It doesn't make any sense to me either. We're a 19-4 volleyball team right now after a win last week.
Think about it. We beat West Liberty. That's the number one ranked team.
No. We lost West Liberty in 5 sets.
Sorry.
But still.
Yeah.
We had that game. I think we actually got fatigued in that game.
Yeah.
So,
that was early, too.
Well, it all comes down to the fact that I think we played... I've said this all year. We played really great competition in our regular season. That's only going to help us out in the postseason. No matter what happens in the conference tournament next week, because we do have a stacked conference, we're going to go into district play the following week with, should be, a ton of confidence that we've played the state's best competition. And we should be able to go into that tournament kind of excited to make a really deep run. And try to make this a state qualifying volleyball team. I think it's very possible.
One thing I look at, and granted, yes, we've played some teams maybe that were 1A that we ran through pretty quickly, but we have the best point differential in the conference at 5.9 wins.
I love that.
And the next closest is Mid Prairie with 4.5. West Liberty has 0.6.
That's
so cool. You look at that. Yeah, we have ran against some teams that maybe we should run against, but we win those games and we win them handily.
We absolutely win those games.
Either way, I think it's going to be a fun postseason for
this
team.
It's going to be a blast.
As long as we don't get sandwiched in with one of these teams that, you know, I personally, with our record and where we're at, we should, this is where I get really upset with the rankings, is these affect where you go for your pairings. So the state needs to look at this. Like,
so if
Wilton should not be ranked higher than us, we beat them head to head. We need to go to the better placing than where Wilton goes. Period.
Right. It would be unfair to have us run into a West Liberty in the first round or a Mount Vernon in the first round. So
I wouldn't put it past it. I've seen it with basketball. I agree
completely. But this is a great volleyball team. If you get a chance, get out and watch this team. But they're going to be playing Thursday night against Comanche, last home game. Go cheer them on. You will not be sorry you went and watched them.
All right. Well, we're going to run through this. Talk to me. What did we do on the points? I don't feel like I did very well.
So we actually tied.
Again?
I know. I think we both went 18-4. Confirmed.
Well, that's actually good then. I'll take an 18-4.
We did.
And I got you because I picked Grundy Center.
Actually,
over
you went 18-4. I went 17-5. You got me by one.
It was that Grundy Center score. You shouldn't have went with Hubbard or
South Harden.
South Harden.
Come on now. It's
all right.
They play again. I'm still going with South Harden.
Okay. Sounds good. So overall for the series, I just need to probably win two more games. I think
you're,
I got this.
You're 92-34. I'm 87-39. You got a 5-game lead on me.
How am I not winning these contests? It's Gary Jedlicka and Kyle Miller, they're winning it every week. All right, first game, Bellevue-Tipton. This is at Bellevue. They're running the hot streak. They're the fourth-ranked team in the state. I've picked them all year. I'm going Bellevue.
Well, you know I got to make up ground on you. And, I mean, what better way than with a Tipton upset? I'm going Tipton.
I hope that you're correct on this one. So
I'm right.
West Branch-Anamosa. This is your pick.
I'm going to go West Branch.
I will also go West Branch. Monticello, Albernette. Easy one, Albernette for me.
Albernette for sure.
All right. Another easy one for you, North Cedar, Maquoketa Valley. Oh. That one was over, I think, before our game hit the half. Because that game got started late for us.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure North Cedar's game was over by the third quarter. They started
well,
third
it's
quarter.
Mac Valley for me. I'm sure it is for you.
Yes.
Okay.
East Buchanan against Starmont. East Buchanan hurt me last week because I think they got beat by Wapsie. I'll go Starmont on this
I'm
one.
I'm going to go East Buck.
All right. North Lynn, Midland. This is you.
I'm going to go North Lynn.
Give me North Lynn. Wapsie Valley against East Marshall. I know more about these two teams than I ever cared to know. I will go Wapsie Valley. They're having a great year.
They are having a great year, but just so I can gain some ground then, I'm going to East Marshall.
All right. Wilton Central Lee. This one's fairly easy, I think.
Wilton?
Yep, same. Sigourney, Kyoto, Durant. Sigourney, Kyoto is having a tough year.
They've been traditionally very good.
This is a historically great program.
I think Durant's playing really well, too.
Got to go Durant.
I'm going Durant.
Wisconsin, Iowa.
Oh, Iowa all day.
This is on the road.
But we're favored. The Hawks
are favored. On the road. We don't even know who's playing quarterback. They've said all three might play. I don't know if that's Kirk being Kirk. My historical brain tells me Wisconsin at home, like, you need to do that. I will go Iowa just because I do think they're the better team.
That's good. I've already written it down. All right, so good. That's good.
Colorado, Iowa State. Told you Iowa State was going to get beat.
You did. Not going to happen again. Iowa State.
Is it at Iowa State? I believe it is.
I believe it
okay,
is.
Okay, I will go Iowa State then.
All right.
They had a tough one. That was a tough game for them. Cincinnati came in and just buzzsaw them.
Just 21-0 after the 10 minutes in.
South Dakota State, Northern Iowa. This is you.
I'm going to go you and I on this.
Okay, I'll definitely go South Dakota State. You and I just got beat. Illinois, Ohio State. That's a good one.
It is.
This will be the first real test for Ohio State, but I think Ohio State's too much. Give me Ohio State.
I agree. Number one team continues to be number one.
Mizzou against Alabama. That's a good game.
Oh, I got to go Alabama on that.
Give me Bama boys. I think their quarterback, like I said, he's
good. He's
quickly.
He's good.
I really like him.
Yep.
Oregon, Indiana. That's a good game. Oh, man, that might be for the –
That's a great game.
What time is that game? We're going to have to look that one up because I might have to watch that
fantastic.
One.
Fantastic. I got to go Oregon with Dan Lanning right now. He's on a streak.
You know – I was impressed with Indiana, just their defense. They just shut us down. I'm going to go Indiana. I think they're going to squeak one out here.
I like it.
Texas, Oklahoma.
I gotta go Oklahoma. Arch Manning's just not doing it
Red
for me.
Red rivalry shootout. Give me Oklahoma as well. Utah, Arizona State. That's a good one. Arizona State, I love their quarterback. He's probably my favorite quarterback in the outside of maybe Alabama's. I like Arizona State's quarterback.
Love I'm going to go Utah.
Okay. Good. Jaguars, Seahawks. Jaguars just beat the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night.
But all I see is clips of Trevor Lawrence picking his nose. That's it. Online, that's all there is. I'm gonna go Seahawks.
I don't think the finger went into the mouth though. I don't think so either. I think he's good. Buccaneers.
Hold on, are you on Seahawks or Jags?
Oh, good point. I left that open, didn't I? Seahawks. They're playing well.
I agree.
Buccaneers. 49ers.
The Bucks. It's got to be the Bucks.
Buccaneers.
Niners just keep squeaking.
I think Purdy's gonna be out one more week, so I'll go Buccaneers. Man, Baker Mayfield. If you're a Browns. Organization, you're like, how I let this guy go?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Horrible.
Carolina Panthers let him go too, and now he's just tearing it up. Dolphins, Chargers.
Wow,
this is you.
God, Tyreek's gone forever. It sounds like I'm actually going to go an upset Chargers.
Well, I wouldn't say it's an upset because the Dolphins are one of the worst teams in the league. I will go Chargers as well, although they have no running backs left. So, and their offensive line is completely decimated. Maybe I'm switching it. Give me Dolphins. I talked myself out of it. Justin Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but he doesn't have a lot with him right now.
Sure.
Ravens, Rams. I'll let you go here.
I'll go Ravens.
Good, because I'm going Rams. Lamar's out. Thank you, Clint. That's a loss for the Ravens, guaranteed.
45-year-old Derrick Henry's going to run all over him.
Yep. Sweet. What did you learn?
Man, what did I learn this week? Okay, so we did junior after prom, did trash pickup at the...
Kudos to Clint for this.
At the Cedar County Fairgrounds.
If we wouldn't have had you organize that, it would have been a four-hour ordeal. So kudos to you for organizing
it. It was rough. Race fans are they're a little... Old dirty. They don't like to use trash bags, I don't think. So we had a lot of trash to pick up. 40-mile-an-hour winds do not help when you're picking up trash out in an open field. But again, I do appreciate those who did show up and helped out pick that trash up. We got it done, and we raised with cans and everything about $1,800 for
the That's unbelievable. Drop, so. That is unbelievable. I tell you, I actually all my vehicles are now have new tires. There were at least six. Hoosier tires that I didn't see any holes or anything in. They looked really good. I popped those back in the back of my truck. Those are mine now.
Perfect.
So those race guys, they don't like bald tires. I can handle them. So they worked well for me. What I learned is those of you that know me well know that I really love technology and I am into the AI craze right now. I've been on a wait list for 8 months to get into Sora 2, which is kind of a video. You type in whatever you want, and it creates it. Really? Clint's been on the receiving end of some of these creations.
I have been.
I basically no longer will believe any video I see until I can verify it. Because
it's amazing.
They can get the mouths correct. It looks just like the people. Videos, as we know it, no longer trust anything you got. Like, basically, all your grandparents on Facebook, they're going to be sharing some crazy videos that are going to be false. Put it that way.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's what I learned this week is I've had all sorts of fun with that.
And you can keep sending me those because that's just a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoy it.
And if you can get on the wait list, Sora 2, S-O-R-A 2, if you can get locked into that, you're going to have to take off work. That's how much fun it is.
But, I love it. That's awesome.
Let's get up there for the Tigers this week. It's a long drive, but like I said, it's a fun place. And I think we're going to surprise them a little bit. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of great postseason stuff to watch with volleyball and cross country next week. So
that's right. I'm going to leave you Waylon Jennings. They found an extra song. I'm going to leave you with a little Waylon Jennings.
Love that.
New song from him. I've been listening to this all week. If you're a Waylon Jennings fan, download this thing.
It's good stuff.
So, go Tigers.